Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Joshua, and this is chapter 2. Let's all ask the Lord to anoint chapter 2 and to open up your spiritual ears, the ears of your spiritual man, the inward man that lives in you, the one that's going to spend eternity in heaven or the other place. But we pray, we know if you're eating and drinking the Word of God, which is Christ, into your ears, which is how we eat and drink Christ, is to hear the Word of the Lord and then do it. We know that you'll be able to make it into the kingdom of heaven and nothing flat. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your Word. We thank you, and I pray that you anoint your Word, because the letter kills, but the Spirit brings forth life. And I pray, Lord, that you anoint every word of commentary that you give me. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
Joshua chapter 2, burning up protects the spies of Israel. King James Version, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. Verse 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.
The reason probably the Lord had him go over to the harlot's house was because of the fact that everybody knew that the people of Israel didn't believe in going to prostitute houses or whore houses. And so that would seem to me that it would be more of a way that they would be hidden, because they certainly didn't go there for any of her wares. They went there just to hide. All right, then what? And to spy out the land.
Verse 3. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. Verse 4. And the woman took the two men, and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Verse 5. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. Verse 6.
And that again, too, is when men would go into a place there, afraid for their lives. They wouldn't be any interested in any sexual activity whatsoever if you know that you're in enemy territory, and in a territory that God said that he's going to destroy. You'd be more interested in just spying out the land like you were told to do, and then get out of there as quickly as possible. Then what?
Verse 6. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Verse 7. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the ford. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. Verse 9.
They were on the roof, not inside the whorehouse. Amen.
Amen.
Then what?
And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Translation, verse 1 through 11. Rahab protects the spies of Israel. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia. He instructed them, quote, spy out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho, unquote. So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. Verse 2, but someone told the king of Jericho, quote, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land, unquote. Verse 3, so the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, quote, bring out the men who have come into your house. They are spies sent here to discover the best way to attack us, unquote. Verse 4, Rahab, who had hidden the two men, replied, quote, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. Verse 5, they left the city at dusk, and as the city gates were about to close, and I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them. Verse 6, bracket, but she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath piles of flax, and bracket. Verse 7, so the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossing places of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the city gate was shut. Verse 8, before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk with them. Verse 9, quote, I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We are all afraid of you. Everyone is living in terror. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. Verse 11, no wonder our hearts have melted in fear, exclamation mark. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things, for the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. King James Version, verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Translation, verse 12. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantees.
Right, so we know that Moses is already dead, so the law of Moses has already been uttered. They may not have anything to do with prostitutes, whorehouses, or anything like that. So just Harlot knew that there was no hanky-tank with these people. She's wanting to make a deal. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 13. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Verse 14, and the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Verse 15, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Verse 16, and she said unto them, get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. Verse 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Verse 18, behold, when we come into the land.
In other words, they're saying, we tell the truth. We're truthful, we're sincere, we have the girdle of truth on. We will not lie to you. If we make an oath with you, a business deal with you, we're going to keep it. And that's just the way that's just the opposite way that a lot of people today, they say they're Christians, they'll make a deal with you or they'll promise you something, and then they don't follow through. They've promised the Lord, they've covenanted with him to follow him, to do everything that he says, and they just don't. And, I mean, it's so prevalent in the body of people who say they're Christians and believe that they're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. They have no armor of God on because they have no truthfulness or sincerity, and therefore they don't. The rest of the armor is not on. If you don't have a clear conscience, that you're going to have the rest of your life. You're not going to know you're saved. You're not going to have on the helmet of salvation. You're not going to have the shield of faith because you know that you're guilty. Your conscience will tell you that. You can't use the double-edged sword because you know you're a hypocrite and you can't fight back with the Word of God. You're not shod with the gospel. You don't have the girdle of truth and sincerity. You don't have the cloak of zeal because you just know you're a phony and there's no way that you can serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so, you know, everything, you don't have any breastplate of righteousness because you've been shot through. You're a liar and you know it. You lie and you're not sincere. And so therefore there's no way that you can be serve the Lord. There's no way that you can enter the kingdom of heaven. These two men said, you know, our life for yours. We will not break this oath that we're making with you now at all. They told the truth because she was really worried about that. And she had to bank on that they were telling the truth because she knew, and the whole city knew, that they were going to come and destroy him. And she and her family were the only ones saved out of the whole city. And so it's wonderful. When I just came back into Hollywood, and I have been here for at least 4 years, and I've been seeing a lot of people that I've known for years and years and years, and everyone greeted me with, warm smiles and enthusiasm and everything, because I've never told them a lie. I've always, they can bank on that I'm for real, and that's the way all Christians must be if you want to be successful in this world, and more than that, be able to enter into the kingdom of God when this thing is all over with down here. So, I mean, why people think that it's far more advantageous to be a liar is more than I'll ever figure out in my whole life. It's absolutely, it's such a disadvantage. And you never see anyone that is a liar prosper for any length of time. They just don't. A friend of mine, Ray Wilson, who is the head of the American Health Studios, the Silhouette Figure Forum, and also the Jacqueline Lane Health Spas, and our First Lady Health Spa, and the Presidential Health Spa, Family Fitness Centers, Jenny Craig, and now he's very strong in the 24-hour health spas. And this man, he's a very astute businessman, and I've never known him to lie. He's not even saved. That he is, you can really trust him if he makes a deal with you. And Charlie Tartella is a very finicky type person. He used to be with his health studios too. And he's made several million dollars with Ray Wilson. Ray Wilson is, as far as telling the truth, is honorable. You can trust him. And I thank God that I was around somebody like that that you can trust. Nobody wants to devote their life to a liar because you don't know if they're telling you the truth or not. They're phonies. And so it's always wonderful to hear in the scriptures where this prostitute made these men bow because she knew they were telling the truth. Because she knew that one of the Ten Commandments is that you can't lie, amen?
Yeah.
And so she knows that these people are the Lord, and that's why God's blessing them, that's why He opened the Red Sea, that's why there was a dry path through the Red Sea, and they know that He also opened up the Jordan for them, and that He's killing everybody that is the enemies of the Jews, because they're telling the truth. And so she says, tell them to promise me. I know you people are truthful people. Promise me. Tell me the truth. And if you'll tell me the truth, I'll keep you hidden. And so that's the value. It's so valuable to be truthful, to be honest and forthright, even to your own destruction, to tell the truth, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Because no liar, no kind of liar, whether you call yourself a Christian liar or an unchristian liar, unsaved person, no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No kind of adulterer or fornicator or one that lusts with their eyes shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No thief shall enter the teaching in heaven. No homosexual. It doesn't matter if you say you're a Christian homosexual. There's no such thing as that. You're just a sinner or a lesbian. So enter the kingdom of heaven. No untruthful person is somebody that has wrong motivations in their minds. The Lord says He weighs out all the things, the intents of our hearts. And so people have to be very careful. This is so beautiful right here, this scripture, that they trusted each other. They trusted her to preserve their lives, and so they said, we will preserve your life. And we bow to that, and we will not break this vow. We're truthful people. We're of the Lord. That's why God moves for us. All right? And so just remember, always be truthful, because there is no prosperity in this world, nor in the world to come, if you're a liar. Or if you think that you're so clever or shifty, you know, that you can shave the truth even. People want to know. They'd rather have you blunt, like I am. And at least people know where you're coming from. A lot of people say, I'm brutally honest. I'll tell you if I feel something is wrong with you, I'll tell you. And I appreciate it when people tell me the same thing, because I'd like to know where people are coming from, and people like to know where I'm coming from. And a lot of people respect me for that. They know they cannot mess over me. People that have known me for years, they know better than that. People that don't know me, that have never known me for any length of time, they cry, they don't know who they're dealing with, because I weigh out everything that people say and do. And that's the way any successful business person does. I wouldn't have been successful in business at all, or successful in the ministry, if I didn't weigh out everything you say and everything you do. And that's the way most people are. You're weighing out what you think I say, what you think I do, maybe, but you don't know me if you think that I'm a liar, because I'm not. And I'm a person that's very sincere, and I'm brutally truthful. And that's just the way the Lord says He loves the way I am, and He says, you know, you just be yourself. But be yourself in me and you, all right? Okay, then what?
Verse 18, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by.
Yeah, because we're going to wreck this wall, God's going to wreck it, and everybody's going to be killed in here. And so you hear we're giving you instruction now. You gave us instruction, you covered us up with flax. You hear the sound of it. Now, if you want to live, now, our vow is that if you put this scarlet cord down the outside of your window, then we're going to know where you're at and get all your loved ones and your whole family, and then you'll be saved. But if you don't do that, then it's you yourself that has broken the vow, because we won't know where you're at, and we're not going to fish through the crowd, okay? The wall's coming down, and if you want to be saved, you better be truthful enough with us, because we will save your life if that scarlet cord is down there. Now, a lot of people just don't listen to happiness to what you say. And when that happens, they're eventually going to get killed, or they're going to get wiped out one way or the other. You've got to pay attention to what people are saying to you. Okay, if there's nothing else on this tape that means anything to you, you better follow these advices. This advice that I'm giving you on all these different points, all right? Be truthful. If you say you're going to let the cord down, we will save your life. But if it's not down there, we're not going to go milling through the crowd looking for you, all right? So you better pay attention to what we're saying. Okay, then go ahead.
And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee.
Yeah, bring them into that round room where the cord's coming down, and they'll be saved then. And you better pay attention, because if they're not there, if there's even one missing, they're going to get killed. Because then what?
Verse 19, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever...
See, we're not going to be responsible for that. If you leave that room, we're not responsible, kiddo, all right? Now, you saved our life, and we want to save your life, but you better stay in that room. Okay, and you better keep your ears open and make sure that cord's down there, because if it is, you're going to be all right, and you and yours. Okay, then what?
And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him.
Yeah, if they go outside, if they stay in the room, and they're in there with you, and one of them gets killed, then we're responsible. God will punish us severely for that. Just make sure every one of your loved ones are in that room. And you better listen really good. Because there's a lot of people in this church that don't listen. I mean, you could be talking to them all day long, and they only half listen or one-fourth listen. And then they spread things. Tony said this or Tony said that. And Tony didn't say that at all. You just twisted the things that I say. And, you know, this happens in almost every church in the world, you know, and in every type of business. They like to twist things to make it more comfortable for them. Tony says, okay, that you can drive only during the day. A certain person can because they are bad night drivers. Well, Tony said I could drive. They only tell you half of the story. So, you know, I'm some kind of a clown and that I don't mean what I'm saying. Well, they said, well, we thought you said no, that we could drive. You knew very good and well, I said, only during the day. So now, because you're a liar, and I can't trust you anymore to drive even during the day without driving in the night, now you cannot drive at all. We need drivers in this work because we're a large work now, and fairly large, and we're getting larger all the time. And we need drivers, but you cannot drive. You're not an honest person. I can't entrust one of these vehicles in the hands of a liar. And so you're not a driver anymore at all. And you tell false stories also, and I've got you marked, you know. And I'm going to make an announcement to the whole church to not pay attention to what you say, because you're a liar. And you like to twist things. Half a truth is a lie. 99% of the truth is a lie. 99.9% of the truth is a lie. 100% truth is the truth. Amen?
Amen.
That's truthfulness and sincerity. That's the girdle of truth. All the armor's on. If you're 100% truthful and very sincere, you know, people know you're not a clown. Okay, then what else?
Verse 20. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath.
Yeah, that'll be it. If you break this oath, that's saying we're going to come here, we're going to do this and that, and then all the stuff we did here, the oath is over with, then you're going to die. We're going to slaughter you too. Okay, then what?
And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. Verse 21. And she said, according unto your words, so be it.
To your words, your truthful words, that's what's going to happen. And I could, there's certain people that I can call in business that I've known ever since I was a kid. And I know that if they say something, I can bank on it. And they know if I say something, they can bank on it. Then go to the bank with it. Because if I tell them, hey, you know, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to take this. And people that I know, new people that I do business with, they say that there's no other person that they do. You can ask this man that is building that building over in the Arkansas area right now, Marty Brazell. You can ask him. He said, I've never met a man that I trust more than you. There isn't anyone. I don't even worry about getting money from you. If you say build it, I know you've got the money to pay for it. And you're the only person I have that keeps saying, you need more money, you need more money, you need more money. And he says, oh, I'm not even worried about it. I'm not even worried about you. And he's going around all over Texarkana telling people. Tony Alamo is the most honest person I know. I mean, you don't have to worry about doing business with him. If he tells you to do something, don't even worry about the money. It'll be there. Yeah, there's a, you can just, this man is trustworthy. He's going to take care of business. And that's the kind of reputation that I want, and I value my reputation. And when people lie about me in that regard, I don't want anything to ever do with them anymore, because the people that I really do business with and the people I really know, they know me. They know that I, there was like years that went by that I wanted to do something with some certain properties, and I didn't order it because I didn't have the money. When the Lord sent the money in, then I ordered it. I counted the cost. I saw that it was going to cost a certain amount of money. And the Lord, but I wouldn't order it. And I told Marty that. I said, he says, God, do you really pay your bills? He says, this guy said only $40,000, $50,000. And they make up excuses that there was a fire or something like that. I said, Marty, I wanted to do what we're doing right now for years now. And I don't order anything unless I've got the money to pay for it. He says, I know that. I see that. And so I really value my reputation. That's all people really have is their reputation. If you blow your reputation by lying about one thing or the other or anything for that matter, anything at all, you've wiped out your reputation. There's not even any point in living, I mean, if you don't have a good reputation. What's the point of having life? Okay, and so that's one lesson I learned when I was a little kid. I mean, very little. I realized that your word has to be your bond. Your word is you. That's you. And if you don't think anything of yourself, then just go ahead and throw yourself out and see how far you're going to go in this life. You're not going to go far at all. All right, let's go. Keep going.
And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Verse 22. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. Verse 23.
Well, they had a real good covenant there. They could trust each other, and they followed her advice, and she followed theirs. That's your life, for God's sake. Don't blow your life by being a liar, okay? Well, what is the profit of a lie? It ruins your reputation and ruins your affiliation with anybody. Nobody wants to even know you if you're a liar. No, I don't want to know a liar. Okay, then what else?
Verse 23. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. Verse 24. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Translation, verse 13 through 24. That when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my family and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families. Verse 14, quote, we offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety, unquote. The men agreed. Quote, if you don't betray us, we will keep our promise when the Lord gives us the land, unquote.
Yeah, we have the girdle of truth and sincerity, which this is a very sincere thing. It's our lives and yours too. So you have to practice that with every little thing every day to be an honest person. Even to your own hurt. If somebody says, I wrecked your vehicle today, or the vehicle that you're in charge of, and I just tell them, well, call the insurance company because it was my fault. That's to their own hurt. They just figure, oh, they're going to really be on the carpet for that. I might take them off driving if it was just a real gross thing, but the point is I respect that person a million times more than somebody that tries to hedge and hem and haw around, you know, that, well, this guy bumped into me, and then I find out later that, no, it was the exact opposite if I look at the police report. And we have some people in the church that are that honest that will say that they truly, it was their fault, or they ruined something. And I respect those people. I might not let them drive again, but I respect their character, their person, their spirit. They've got a good spirit inside their body. And I know them, and I can trust them. I can trust them. I can send them to the bank. I can send them to different places, wherever, and I can trust that they'll do what I tell them. Okay, then what?
Verse 15. Then, since Rahab's house was built into the city wall, she let them down by a rope through the window. Verse 16. Quote, escape to the hill country, she told them. Hide there for 3 days until the men who are searching for you have returned.
There wasn't even a better friend to them in Israel or in that in Jericho. I mean, who else was there to save their lives but her? Amen?
Amen.
And to preserve the lives of all the other people in Israel. All right, then what?
Then go on your way, unquote. Verse 17. Before they left, the men told her, quote, we can guarantee your safety, verse 18, only if you leave this scarlet rope hanging from this window. And all your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the house. Verse 19, if they go out into the street, they will be killed, and we cannot be held to our oath. But we swear that no one inside this house will be killed, not a hand will be laid on any of them. Verse 20, if you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath in any way, unquote. Verse 21, quote,
well, there's a lot of people in the ministry that will betray you. That after all the years that I was in the ministry and helped people, I had about 12 or 14, 15 different false witnesses that lied about me in the courtroom to save their own necks. They betrayed me. And thank God I'm strong, that God gave me enough of the Spirit of the Lord in me to it didn't shake me at all. Because I just looked at him and said, this is like I'm living part of the things that the Lord lived through. And I'm betrayed, and I know that God is going to carry me through, because I don't hold God responsible for that at all. He told me, he warned me about those things before they happen so that I don't fall away. Okay, otherwise I think, well, maybe I'm not saved at all. No, he says, expect these things. Expect betrayal. He says, in the last days, people will betray one another. They're just false people looking out for their own interests. But one thing for sure, I'm not going to betray you. I will not do that, because I don't want my soul to go to hell. I want to go. I was all the time I put in the ministry, almost 40 years. Or possibly 40 years down, I will not sell myself short by lying to you or by doing something that the Lord said not to do. Can you trust what I tell you? See what else?
Quote, I accept your terms, she replied, and she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. Verse 22, the spies went up into the hill country and stayed there 3 days. The men who were chasing them had searched everywhere along the road, but they finally returned to the city without success. Verse 23. Then the two spies came down from the hill country, crossed the Jordan River, and reported to Joshua all that had happened to them. Verse 24. The Lord will certainly give us the whole land, unquote, they said, for all the people in the land are terrified of us, unquote.
And people are terrified of somebody that will tell the truth, because almost everybody, it just seems there's a lot of people today that are liars and are not sincere at all. They're just looking out for their own interests, and they'll do anything. I had some friends here in Hollywood years ago that I went in the backyard, and their sons were, it was the 4th of July, and I heard firecrackers going off, or what I thought was firecrackers. When I went in the back, I said, where's Aiden and Fred, your mom and dad? They said, they went to a picnic. And I said, well, how come you all back here by yourselves? And one of them had their hand behind their back. I said, what do you have behind your back? He says, can you say that? I said, well, I got real suspicious. I said, what do you got behind your back? And he pulled it out, and it was a .45 gun. I said, where'd you get that? That was what I was hearing that I thought was firecrackers. He said, we stole it from that policeman's house over there. Well, I didn't want my friend's kids to go to prison or anything like that. I thought I'd take care of it. And I had been unjustly put in, I guess maybe justly, because I ran away from home. But then we took a friend of mine, we took his dad's car, and he didn't go to reform school, but I did. And so the police, when I left, I said, well, let me put this away until I find out what to do, because I didn't want to turn it in to the police for fear they'd say, yeah, you were in reform school, and here you are. You've got this gun that was stolen from a policeman's house, so you're going to prison. So I put it in the drawer at my house. And when I came home that night to the police officers there, they said, you know about it? Have you got a gun? And I said, yeah. And I knew the kids had told them. So I said, yeah, a couple of kids gave me this gun. They were firing in the back of the yard, so I put it here for safekeeping. They said, no, you're the head of a stolen property gang. You receive stolen property. I said, no, they put me in jail. And so I found out that when I asked Ada and Fred, look, I saved your kid's life by taking it away from them. They didn't stand up for me in court. They betrayed me. So that was before I was saved, years before I was saved. And then when I got saved, people betrayed me. So they were the same as the people that were unsaved. The people that were saved were the same as the people that were unsaved. And I saved the people's lives before I was saved, and then I saved the people's lives by preaching the truth to them. And because of the fact that they wanted to continue sinning, they lied about me in court. And because the IRS threatened that they'd throw them in prison for life and take all their property away and everything. And so they valued their house up on the hill and their worldly possessions more than they valued me, and more than they valued their own soul, because the Lord said that betraying a Christian is the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's the same deed that Judas did, and every human body that has the Spirit of Jesus in it's the same thing as betraying Jesus. All right, let's go on. Now we've got some commentary.
2 verse 1. Acacia Grove, its trees, also known as Shittim, was a site in Moab east of the Jordan River and opposite Jericho. Quote, secretly, unquote, this classification reveals that Joshua intended to take Jericho by force and was unaware of the miracle before him. The house of Rahab was a perfect place for the spies to stay because of the constant flow of traffic. Because it was a public house, it was common for people to come and go. God has sovereignly led them to the one person in all Jericho who believed in him. See Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Okay. 2 verse 2. Quote, King of Jericho.
Oh, have you got that already? If you haven't, go ahead and read it.
Okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Quote, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace.
So it shows that the others did believe not, which means that she did. Okay, then what?
2 verse 2, quote, King of Jericho, unquote. The Amarna Tables, 14th century B.C., correspondence between Canaanite kings and Egyptian pharaohs, suggests that Canaan consisted of city-states, each with its own king, army, and government. 2 verse 4 through 6. Lying is never justified, but in this case, because of Rahab's immature faith, it is understandable.
Well, also, that isn't considered lying if you're protecting the people of the Lord. I mean, she really just sent him on a wild goose chase is what it was. I mean, a lot of people may think that it's you've got to weigh out whether you want to mislead people or betray the people of the Lord. Now, betraying the people of the Lord is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and like misleading the people is not a lie. That's considered saving their lives. If somebody's after their life, okay, that's a you have to weigh out what you're doing. Sometimes you're pushed between a rock and a hard place. And if it comes to, like, if my wife and children are like hiding someplace, and they say, where's your wife and children? They're in the closet over there, you know, like, you know, I'm going to betray them. Would the Lord honor that?
No.
No. Well, that's what the kind of stuff that we're talking about here. So it's just, you know, we know that these people are wicked, amen?
Yeah.
And so wicked that God wants to kill them. So you just tell them, look, go chase yourself, in other words, all right? You want to know where these spies are, just go chase yourself. Go, I mean, she didn't hurt them. They should go out for a bunch of fresh air in the mountains here for 3 days, right? And then to leave them, don't betray those people. That's, you got to weigh that out. Because it's, you know, you take the beast and they're trying to destroy Christians' lives, and you just go up there and help them. Well, you're considered a person that betrays the Lord. And that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And so they lie like dogs, and they trumped up so many false charges on me that it's unbelievable. And then on top of that, there's people that were in the church for years, and I paid for the birth of their children. I fed, clothed, and housed them for all these. Got the gospel to them, showed them how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then they go and lie about me and tell all kinds of false stories that I was keeping double books and stuff. From the IRS, and they're liars, and they knew it. And a lot of those people are already dead. God just took their lives. One of them is Bob Miller. Man, he's deader than a doornail. And then what?
2:6. Flax was a native plant used for making cloth and candle wicks. When mature, it was soaked to separate the fibers, then dried on the rooftop. A typical roof in Canaan was flat and was used as a place for casual conversation and for sleeping during the heat of the summer. 2:7. Perhaps the king's messengers were so easily convinced that Rahab was telling the truth because of her respected position in the pagan society.
Yeah, and prostitutes, because they didn't have the law, they didn't know that there was anything wrong with it. And unless you have the knowledge of the law, there's no transgression. But now, everyone that knows that being a prostitute or a harlot or lusting after strange flesh or being a lesbian, homosexual, or an adulterer, a fornicator, a liar, all these things, you know the truth. And you're not like the person that was not raised with any truth or law, you don't know anything, you know the truth. And so therefore you're really accountable. Rahab didn't think, well, she just thought it's a profession, that's all. And didn't know any difference. And that's what people try to pretend that they don't know today, but they know that that's against the law of God and that there's no possibility to enter into the kingdom of heaven, especially after you've known the truth. And then you become loose and start living the life of a harlot or a fornicator or an adulterer. Old Testament, before the law, people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there was no law there. The law came later with Moses. And then after Moses died, of course, they had the law. And then in Joshua here, they had the law also. And we have the law and know much more about the consequences of breaking the law. And so people, you know, you want to live loose just because the heathen are living loose around you? That isn't going to be any excuse at the judgment bar. God, you're supposed to be a bright and shining light to the heathen so that they'll be saved. But if you don't, if you become like them, if you let them influence you, if you let them minister their type of life to you, instead of you ministering the Lord's life unto them, then you're going to hell. We have to minister the Lord's life. We can't let go. The whole world is ministering looseness and just do anything you want. We can't suffer that. We can't allow ourselves to believe that just because it seems to be the popular thing to do. because God's law is law and it never changes. Okay, so let's finish up here.
Harlots, prostitutes, were often priestesses of the Canaanite religion, and their profession was considered honorable.
Yeah, by people that don't have any law, just do whatever you want, do it anything you want. And so therefore, she didn't think anything that was bad about that. It was just a business to her. But then I'm sure that when she joined the troops of Israel, she learned real fast that that was the wrong thing, that that was the sinful thing, that that was the condemned thing to do. You have to go and sin no more. And if you're a harlot and you hear these words on this tape, you can be just as clean and white and pure as a brand new baby that you've never committed a sin in your life if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the beautiful thing about the Lord. But then after you get saved and you start doing that again, there's no more forgiveness for you. That's what the Bible says. There remaineth no more forgiveness. All right, then what?
2:8. The narrative is interpreted here to deal with Rahab's request and the details of the oath between her and the spies. It does not resume again until 22. This is typical of the Hebrew episode style. 9-11. As soon as we heard, the Canaanites had heard of the Hebrew defeat of over 60 fortified cities east of the Jordan River. 2:12. Swear to me by the Lord. Swearing an oath was an appeal to God to witness the binding nature of a promise. Although we do not know how Rahab came to possess faith outside of the fact that she had heard of all the victories that the Jewish people had done, that God had done for them, her request is a further indication of a level of faith in the only true God because of how he destroyed the other city.
We have a lot of testimony of people getting healed every single day, and finances coming in, and in an impossible situation, because none of the people in our church are really that astute at business or anything, and I am really full-time gospel. It's just a miracle that the things that have happened to us and are happening with us are happening. Amen? So that alone, it should give people, it's like opening the Red Sea. It's a miracle, the things that happened to us. Amen?
Amen.
And people being healed, the blind eyes being opened, people that have cancer are completely cured of it. There's a woman that her blood sugar was up to 900 the other day, and it came down to 125. I mean, that's incredible. Amen?
Amen.
That's a miracle. Then what else? And she really is so thankful to the Lord for that. Then what else?
2:15. Portions of Jericho's walls were 12 feet thick, allowing for individual dwellings to be built into them. 2:18. The scarlet cord that enabled Israel's army to identify Rahab's house and spare all within, 12-13. The cord or rope is symbolic of the redemptive work of Christ that saves us all.
It's like scars, like symbolic of the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and the cord of life. All right, then what?
1-7. Joshua wisely determined to first discover the strength of his enemies, the people of the city of Jericho, before setting out to encounter them in battle. Howbeit, he didn't know that God was going to do that miracle. See Luke 14:31-32. Rahab, a prostitute and a citizen of Jericho, also made a very wise decision when she took a stand for God, the God of Israel, by assisting and protecting the spies sent by Joshua. Rahab displayed courage when she turned away from the security and praise of the world that she knew and risked following the true God of whom she knew little. It always takes courage to make changes in our life, especially when those changes take us into the unknown. That's why it's so important for us to know the gospel because then it is no longer the unknown. 2 verse 15 through 21. Rahab completed her chosen task of helping the spies by providing them with a rope, a window hidden from sight, and a plan, hide 3 days in the hills, for their safe return to their people. The spies, in turn, established the ground rules of responsibility for Rahab and her family. They outlined the specific requirements for the safety of Rahab's family and the consequences of betrayal. Rahab is an excellent example of how God can use each of us. No matter what terrible things we may have done in the past, God forgives all of our past sins.
Right. And there's a lot of people today that are preaching that God forgives all of your past, present, and future sins. This is a dirty lie right out of the mouth of the devil. Whenever you hear people saying that, you know you're looking like square at either a person that doesn't hasn't matured in faith or hasn't read the Bible, because they haven't read the Bible, or that you're looking right square into the face of the devil. Because the Lord will forgive sins of ignorance in the future, but they truly are sins of ignorance, but He forgives us of all our former sins, and then tells us to go and sin no more, because he that sinneth is of the devil, and it says that in the New Testament. And, you know, if we willingly commit cardinal sins after we've been washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus, and we know that only sins of ignorance can be forgiven, then there remains no more forgiveness. And you can just get all upset about that if you want, but this is the Lord talking, and you are nothing. The Lord is something. Amen? You're only something if you do what the Lord says. You are nothing if you do the opposite. Well, this is Tony Alama. We'll be doing Chapter 3 of Joshua, Lord willing, tonight, or for sure tomorrow morning. God bless you, and praise the Lord.